Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter. Welcome back, everybody. Again, this is Thinks Out Loud. I'm Tim Peter, and we cover all the internet marketing expertise your business needs. We've got a great show today. There's lots to cover. I'm really looking forward to some of the things we're going to talk about today. But we're going to get right into it, starting with our numbers, as we do each week. Now, I don't share these just out of vanity. I share these as examples and as a model of what you can do with your business and how you can measure the effectiveness of what you're doing from a content marketing perspective, from a search marketing perspective, from a social marketing perspective, and in terms of how it leads to overall business results. So fundamentally, this is all done with an eye to giving examples of how you can measure your success in online marketing. I will tell you that last week's show was the second best episode ever in terms of listenership and in terms of views on the site, which is really great. It was very close to the top. Week three's show was the number one show. So it seems to be building each week, and we'll see, maybe in a week or two this will pass it. We are still getting a ton of traffic from mobile, about 18%, which is more than almost double what we get for a typical blog post on the blog at timpeter.com/blog. So mobile is clearly something that is important to people who are listening to podcasts, as I'd kind of hoped it would be and kind of expected it would be. The other metrics look really good. Bounce rate is still very good. Exit rate is still very good, much lower than what we typically see. And as ever, I'll have a link in the show notes to a glossary of terms. So if you're unfamiliar with a bounce rate or an exit rate, you can look that up and see what that's about. And lastly, I'm going to say, I'd like to grow these numbers. So please tell your friends. They can subscribe in iTunes. They can subscribe via the blog at timpeter.com/blog. And I'll have a link to both of those in the show notes. So tell your friends about it. They might like it. Now let's go ahead and take a look at headlines. The first headline comes from Huffington Post, who reports that now the world has 6 billion mobile subscribers. That's billion with a B, if I'm not saying that carefully enough. That's a lot of people. That means that there are almost as many mobile subscribers as there are people in the world. We're at something like 86% or 88% or something like that. It's huge how big that is. Which, that's going to create enormous amounts of opportunity, because there's still only about 2 billion internet users. And the reason there's so many fewer internet users is because until very recently, being connected to the internet depended on having a computer. And having a computer really meant having a laptop or a desktop. Of course, once you have a mobile phone in your pocket, you have a computer. So I think we're going to see internet usage grow dramatically over the next couple of years as that 4 billion person gap closes as they begin to use their phones to access the internet. As another example of that, MarketingLand is now reporting that the iPhone is the number one email client. Up till now, it's been Outlook from Microsoft, and suddenly now the iPhone has passed that. So more people are reading email via their iPhone than read via Outlook for the first time ever. That's a huge, huge shift. Anybody who's worked in corporate America over the last, decade or so hasn't seen anything other than Outlook as the way for accessing their email. Yes, there have been BlackBerries and things like that, but really, at the end of the day, it mattered what happened when you got back to your desktop. It mattered what happened when you opened up Outlook, and that's now no longer true. That underscores why I put so much emphasis on mobile. Clearly, at present, desktop web, or you know, the web that you access via your desktop computer or your laptop computer, still outpaces mobile internet use. But that's not going to be true for much longer. It's projected that in 2013, mobile searches will bypass desktop searches for the first time ever. And that's really a shift in the way people will access things online. That doesn't mean desktop is going away. It just means that more people will be using their mobile phones to access things on the internet, or I should say mobile devices with tablets and things like that, than will use their desktop. So obviously your need to be mobile is as important as your need to be online. Now, Mashable reports that Google has redesigned its homepage for mobile, which really underscores what I was just saying a moment ago about how important mobile is overall. Google clearly sees it, and they want to make sure that their homepage works most effectively for people who are accessing via mobile device. And then finally, MediaPost reports that search, or has a great article, I should say, that says search is really integral to your social and content marketing. And that's really what we talk about here on this podcast, and something I talk about in the blog a lot, is how all of these different pieces work together. Which really leads to this week's tip. We've talked about personas, we've talked about keywords. Today we're going to add one more piece to this, which is a scenario. And when we talk about a scenario, we're really talking about your customer's story. How is it that they're doing what they do? What is it that's important to them as they go about trying to solve their problem online? In coming weeks, we'll talk about how your story meshes with your customer's story. But today we're going to talk fundamentally about their story, this scenario. And it starts just the way we've talked about in all the preceding weeks, beginning with who are you talking to? What is it that they want? What do you offer that would help with their want? And how would they talk about it? How would they go about solving their problem? So, for example, there's an old joke in this field that talks about the fact that if you sell drills, right? No one wants a drill. They want a hole. Now, some wags out there may say, well, there are people who collect drills or really like tools or things like that. And that's fine. That's okay. Those people exist too. And that may be a clear market for you. But the point is, even those folks don't want a drill. They want to satisfy some longing to have a cool new toy. They want to have something that brings them happiness, whatever. The reality is, no one wants the thing you sell. They want the solution to their problem that the thing you sell solves. So as you look at the content that you offer on your site, as you look at the keywords, building on what we did last week, you've really got to think about what it is the customer looks for and what they care about. Now, there are a couple ways to do this. One is competitive research, and I'll have a link in the show notes to a couple of competitive research articles to help you with that. But you can see what your competition does. How do they talk to your customer? And do be aware, just because they do it doesn't mean they're right, but that you should be aware of what it is they're doing, and is there anything there you can learn from? Another is, think about seasonal trends. Now, as I'm recording this, it's autumn here in the New York area. I'm looking out the window at turning leaves, leaves turning color, and things like that. I'm thinking about football. That's American football, for those folks of you who are overseas listening to this. I'm thinking about the upcoming election. I'm paying attention to the baseball playoffs, right? These are all trends that play into what your customer cares about at the specific moment. What are the things that they are looking forward to? If you're in some businesses, maybe it's people are beginning to plan for winter, or maybe they're beginning to plan for their spring break or getting away from the cold. Things like that, as you think through what it is your customer cares about, that becomes part of the story. You also want to think about the relevance to what you offer, right? You want to make sure that it's something that supports, that you have a product that supports their need. And there are some tools like Google Trends that can help you learn more about this. So for instance, I did a search for theater tickets, which led me to Broadway Tickets NYC, which led me to cheap Broadway tickets. These are things people are searching for right now that make me say, okay, maybe people are still concerned about the economy. I shouldn't say maybe. Clearly, people are still concerned about the economy, and they're looking for ways to save some money. So that could play into it as well. The key point, of course, is that you're really focusing on your customer concerns and needs, how they do what they do. Now, another source that can help you learn more about this is usability.gov. This is a government resource, a U.S. government resource, that's focused on what's called user-centered design and development. It's a really cool site. They've got a good section on personas. They've got a good section on scenarios. Well worth the read if you have the time. I do think that their persona methodology is a lot heavier than what you need. And I would say, go ahead and look at episode 2 of our podcast, our Social is People episode. that talks about personas and a quick and dirty way that you can do personas for your business that isn't quite so robust, but is a lot cheaper and easier as well. Regardless of what methodology you use, whether you use mine, whether you use the usability.gov one, the key is that focus on your customers' concerns and on their needs. The scenario really talks about how your customer does what they do and will inform how you make decisions going forward. So that's really the important thing to take away from this week's tip. Now, as I have done many weeks since we started the podcast, I'd like to wrap up the show with a quick book review for you. I mentioned the baseball playoffs earlier in the show. And while what I'm going to recommend to you this week may sound like a baseball book or may sound like a sports book, underneath it, it's really a business book. It's been out for a bunch of years. It's called Moneyball by Michael Lewis. It's a tremendous book. And what makes it so great, what makes it so useful, is its focus on how you can think differently than your competition. They happen to use a baseball team as the example, the Oakland A's, who are still alive in the playoffs as I record this. But the takeaway is doing something different than what your competition does. It happens to be wrapped around a fun story and an enjoyable read. I'm a big fan. I'll have a link to it in the show notes, and I really recommend you check it out. You might enjoy it. With that, I'm going to thank you so much again for tuning in to Thinks Out Loud. As ever, I really appreciate you listening, and I want to hear from you. Remember, we've got an email address at podcast@timpeter.com, or you can provide suggestions or questions in the show notes at timpeter.com/blog. Remember, of course, that you can subscribe via iTunes or on the blog to the podcast and have it delivered to you each week as we finish up. And with that, I want to thank you again for listening. It's really great to get to do this every week for you, and I hope you enjoy it. So please, keep listening, and we'll look forward to seeing you right back here next week on Thinks Out Loud. Have a great week, everybody.